It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Good evening and welcome to Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana in Accra. My name is Abraham Asari. Internet sedition, African Cup of Nations kicks off tomorrow. What does it hold for Ghana? And what threats will be posed by so-called smaller nations in the 28th edition of CAN? Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana in Accra and all regional FM stations of the GBC. Send us a text, 026-441-8767 is the line, text line it is, 026-441-8767. We are also live at gbcghana.com. It is Behind the News, it is live, and it is on Radio Ghana in Accra. The delegates of the NDC go to the polls tomorrow to elect some of the party's parliamentary candidates for election 2012. The primaries will be held in all the constituencies where the party has certain MPs, except the Greater Accra region. Behind the News finds out from the Western and Central Regional Directors of the Electoral Commission their preparation for the primaries. First, the Deputy Central Regional Director of the EC, Sribo Kwaku. Mr. Kwaku, good evening. Welcome to Behind the News. So can you tell us, is EC ready for tomorrow's elections in your region?
Thank you very much and good evening to you too. As of now, as you know, we are just supervising the elections for the NDC. So they have finished printing their ballot papers. They have submitted their voters to the delegates list. So this morning we met the Bishop of Church Consent and we have submitted the ballot papers and the delegates to them. So as I would say, everything is now ready for the exercise.
And are you holding this election, supervising this election in all constituencies in the central region?
Yeah, we have 11 constituencies which are being occupied by the NDC. But I would say they are saying that because they are going to create a new district that is Kaswa, so we are not going to conduct election in Kaswa. Therefore, we are going to do that in 10 of the 11 constituencies.
So when is it starting?
Again?
When is the exercise starting?
I think they are starting 9 o'clock at each of the constituencies.
And by 5 p.m., I'm sure that it will be over.
Well, it will depend on the readiness of the party. If they can't ask their plan to start at 9 o'clock, then look, it will also depend on the number of delegates. You know, each constituency has its number of polling stations. Some have an average of about 500, 400, and the rest. So it will depend on when the party itself will be ready, the delegates. I believe that all is being covered by 5 o'clock. We should have finished all of the time.
All right, Mr. Kwaku, thank you very much for being with us tonight. Have a good night. Stephen Opokumensa, Western Regional Director of the EC, is on the line. Mr. Opokumensa, good evening to you. Are you prepared for tomorrow's primaries in your region for the NDC?
Thank you very much. In the Western region, we are prepared for tomorrow's primaries. Tomorrow, we are conducting the primaries for five constituencies. As I said, he also says, Shekwan Tomra, Aurin, Swaman, and Amefi Central. So everything is set. We have prepared the ballot papers, we have spent the business services, and we have even met the regional party delegates. We have told them that we need security presence at all that we are conducting the election. So I think that all is set for the primaries tomorrow.
Are they providing security themselves or the EC is working out its security arrangement? I heard you say you requesting from them. Is that the case?
No. In every election, there's the possibility of conflict and policy and there. But to avert possible conflict, we advise the parties to see the police commanders so that they bring security presence. We are not anticipating any violence, but want to avert such a situation to be forearmed. That's why we want to do that.
Thank you so much, Mr. Opokumensa, and you have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Opokumensa is the Western Regional Director of the EC. You're listening to Behind the News. The program is live on Radio Ghana in Accra and all regional FM stations of the GBC. Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Well, Ghana, no doubt, is a football powerhouse in Africa. However, for 3 decades, the country has not been able to crown the campaign with the coveted Africa Cup of Nations trophy. The Black Stars again join 15 other nations to compete for the Continental Trophy being co-hosted by Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. The tournament starts tomorrow, the 21st of January, and ends on the 12th of February. In the absence of Egypt, Nigeria, and other strong football nations, some analysts have tipped the Black Stars to win the 28th edition of the Africa Cup of Nations. But how prepared is the senior national team for the tournament? Tonight, Behind the News discusses the chances of the Black Stars with some sports analysts and technical men. Well, joining me in the studio is Coach Sam Dodu, who led Ghana to win the Nations Cup for the first time in 1982. Benjamin Willie Graham is our sports commentator here at Radio Ghana, and he's also here with me in the studio. Others will be joining us on the telephone. Gentlemen, good evening to you. Welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, Graham.
I'm sure that you're having a good year so far.
Yeah.
Coach?
Oh, yeah. You only play that God will bless you.
You were a footballer in your youthful days. Do you miss playing football?
Because as a coach, you participate when you are coaching. You participate more especially when you go down to the youth side. And you know, 2007, the whole Africa, I was selected by FIFA as the best youth coach. And I was in Barcelona to lecture people. So when you are dealing with the youth, you take part. Everything you do. So
you enjoy it?
You really enjoy it. Especially when you are teaching the youth and you have to juggle the ball, and then.
But as a coach, you know, you are a coach. You may take part, but when it comes to making money, the players make more money than the coaches.
That has been the case, and I will tell you why those years we were using mostly the local players, because the professionals, when they were invited, were not giving of their best. They were afraid of their, they would be injured left and right, and so, and then motivation was nil those days. Only the mere fact that when you put on the jersey, you are very proud, more especially in the 78 and 65 and 63. You are very proud to put on the jersey. But later on, the motivation has come in, and then these days, when we are traveling, I have to go to the Bank of Ghana to collect our money, and the money even we sent away for competitions will not even come up to $10,000. But now, one match will give out so many dollars, and one player can get $10,000. So now you see that they are even fighting to come into the team. Yes.
Okay. So we'll be looking at. The current team will be looking at what happened in the past. But even for how long have you been a coach? For how long have you been coaching?
A long time, since before 70.
Before 1970?
Yes. You know, I did physical education, and so my major was soccer. So a long time. Early 60s.
And you're still coaching?
I'm now an instructor.
But if a team approaches you, you'd love to coach.
Even now, as I'm sitting here, some countries want me to become their directors of this and that. And I'm thinking about it.
I see. So you're likely to go?
No, I've not taken any decision.
It depends on how much they're bringing.
These days, the boys are enjoying. I was saying it just for fun. If those days were like today, I would be a billionaire by now. But unfortunately, those days you will.
So in the 1970s and 80s, when you were an active coach and you were winning the trophies for Ghana, what is the difference between those days and now? In terms of coaching?
But coaching, you must do refresher courses.
Yes, so now we have technology, you know, these days. I think there's some kind of improvement. Is it easier now than then?
I wouldn't say it's easier.
Those days, you could easily resort to ways and means.
No. In fact, I will be proud to say that even I introduced this prayers and the rest in the Black Stars.
Prayers.
Yes.
Praying to God.
Praying to God. I brought in
God Almighty.
I brought in 78. I brought in a Reverend Minister who came to pray for the boys and the rest. And I remember the man who was scoring for us. Opoku Efriye. Yeah. The names are many. Opoku Efriye got injured, and he sent him to 37. And the Reverend Minister was there throughout the 2 days, praying for him, and he got well to come and play in the finals, and he won. So that for me, I introduced this.
God is interested in football.
God is interested in every activity of human being.
But if Ghana is playing against, say, Equatorial Guinea or Botswana, who maybe they also serve God, they also pray to God, we are praying to God, where do you think God would stand? Where would you support? Which country would you support?
It depends upon the person who is praying. Sometimes if you're a bad person and you pray, God will not listen to you. You know, let me tell you,
let us take it that we are all good.
Then God has given you everything. You see, when it comes to that, He has given you the health, you have to train, you have your mentality and the rest. And so it's just like the military. You have the Ghana military and Nigeria military, they have all the guns, everything equal in strength. When they go to war, the one with the better tactics will win. So
it also depends on man.
Yeah, it depends on the man.
And let's look at the last World Cup, where we were almost at the semi-finals, and then there came Suarez. Was it that we didn't have a good tactic, or God didn't want us to win?
Well, God has done, in fact, did something for us. Yeah.
What did He do?
God put us to that a place, and now we are the best in Africa.
Is that enough? The cup was the ultimate.
Yeah, but the cup, but you should know that there are others who are superior than you.
Okay, so for 3 decades, Ghana has not won a Nations Cup.
Yeah.
The last time you led them to win, was that right?
Yes.
1982. What did you do that we've not been able to win again? Did you say anything that affected the team?
No. You see, the idea that Ghana never won any laurels after 82. In fact, 1992 and 2010.
In Angola.
We were at the finals. That was well. But I will tell you something. I had it here that from 84 to 2005, we had 20 coaches handling the Blasters.
84 to 2005.
And 2005, 20 coaches with so many foreign coaches. Cesar Tufisa, Jordan Larson, Peter Gavila, Ishmael Cruz, Ramos Israel, Dosina, and Milan, Cesar, Zundek, Benetto, and all those names. But you cannot do that. You see, our time, those days, when the local coaches are coaching. For instance, I was recalled from Brazil by Kana Champon.
What are you doing in Brazil?
I went there to do a post-graduation course of coaching, 2 years in Rio de Janeiro, Federal University. After that, I was working there, coaching the third coach. And it was Paheres who came to tell them that. But you people, you want coaches. You want foreign coaches. But there is somebody who is working in
Brazil.
Brazil, who is doing very well. They call him even Yellow Boy. So why? So the head of state sent for me, 77. I came to take over from a Brazilian. So when I arrived and even we were talking in Brazil, people were wondering how. So It was there that I discovered the standard of the boys was too low. And I went with Kenneth Simpson-Santé to the head of state that if he would allow us to train outside, I think you get the trophy. And you know what he said? And let me use the chi, the one who said,
Iceland, that is to say that if they win
the cup, even you can send us to their destiny. You could send us to that place. So he told Canel, come on, let them go. And he went, and I had some technical comrades who helped me to train the boys. Then you were there when you know, your sports writers, they're always finding fault. It's the same Osam Dudu and Egan who are still training them. And I learned they were training on Sakura Field and the rest. The place you were training, you had three fields, one Sakura, one the other, and the one for the matches. I don't know who came to tell them. So Kenneth asked us to come back. When I came back, I called press conference, and I asked them to arrange a match between the Black Stars and that team. And Hearts of Oak was, in fact, the best team at that time. We beat them 2-0 or 3-1, something like that. And that was the first time Ghanaians saw what you call overlapping.
That is a defender?
Attacking. Going to attack. So everybody then started shouting, let them go back. We went back and came back to win the cup.
I see. Now, I'll come back to you, but because I wanted to talk about the current national team. Mm-hmm. Benjamin, you are the, you know, sports reporter, so journalist these days, and you are quite in touch with these players. What is the mentality of the players that we have currently?
Thank you very much, Ibrahim. I think before I answer that, I would say that it's a big privilege for me to be in the studio with Mr. Osam Dudu to even look at the Black Stars. To go straight into your question, Ibrahim, if you look at the mentality of the current crop of players that we have, you realize that even if you take the percentage of the players that we have, almost like 90-95% of them are based outside the country. And they've had a lot of training. They've gone through a lot of, different rudiments of footballing. And so and when they come down, they see the different trends of the game that we have. But in terms of a tournament, when you're going into it, Abraham, the mentality would obviously come as a result of what you are given or what you are asked to do by your coach. Every coach has a philosophy. Every coach has an objective. And every coach has a way of, you know, handling a national team.
The objective, obviously, is to win.
Yes, to win
the trophy.
It may necessarily not be, an objective to win, because if you look at the aspects of a team like Botswana, the objective as a team was to qualify as the Nations Cup. And
they have qualified.
And they have qualified.
And you think the objective is still to just have qualified?
I mean, it's going to be difficult. But the objective, first, you jump one hurdle before you go to the other. Now, my main objective is that for so many years, you've not qualified for the national team. And so you try to inject into the players that mentality that, listen, why don't you just do this to make the country proud for the first time? And they have done that. And so for the Black Stars, yes, 30 years we have not won a Nations Cup. And we are now going there. We want to look at the players that we had way back in 1982. What are we going to learn from them? Hesio Dampton, someone of Okunti. You are thinking about players like Samson Lamptey. You are looking at George,
all these players were local players. That tells you that the cohesion that was there then, I think.
The big question I've always had, what was the standard of our league at that time? And that's one thing we've not been able to answer. One question we've not been able to answer. Because even at the time when we claimed that we are not professional in our league, we still enjoyed it. Now that we've gone professional, what is happening? We still have problems with it. Now we talk about a young chap who scored 12 goals in 15 matches. Mm-hmm. And everybody's talking about the fact that he's a prolific striker and should be part of the Black Stars team. And the coach says that my objective at the Nations Cup 2012, he can't play a part. And we think it's a problem. But you can go to England, and Rooney might be scoring 10 or 5 goals in the league, and Capello might not even see him as a player that he wants to use in his team. It depends on what you want. If a coach decides that these are the players that I can use,
are you saying that the mentality of the players does not come to play?
It depends on you, the individual, as well. Collectively, the mentality may be that we are going to win. But if one is like trying to have a structural function aspect of our society, if one head is not working, it's going to affect everybody.
Okay, so Coach, in 82 we had a team that was able to win the African Cup of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a team today that can do as that team did in 82? Is it a winsome side we have?
Okay. I will say that, you know, the Black Stars, presently, they have won respect and admiration of the continent and the world because of impressive
performances
in 2006 and 2010. And fortunately, they have played together for a while. So this is the advantage we are now having. Only a few of them.
But even those who are there, are they still strong? Are they still playing well? Anthony Annan, is he playing actively? Is he in a good team? Suleiman Mutari, is he as strong as 2006? Do we have such kind of quality in 2006? Even though Lykins was not at the World Cup, he was a very good player. He was strong. The captain, Stephen Appiah, is no longer playing in the Black Stars. You brought in young chaps who have little experience. You think we can do as we did?
You know, I will tell you that it was the coach who sent these boys, the same team, to the World Cup, South Africa. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. So he knows what
that was 2 years ago.
That was Milovan.
Yeah, the previous coach.
The previous.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, Jordan Ayew was fronting the team.
Mm-hmm.
That guy does so well when he's in France, but when it comes to play for the Black Stars, it doesn't click.
I mean, he has the first opportunity he had was against Sudan in Kumasi. So.
Did he do well?
Against Brazil, so we may look at his performance. Against Brazil, yes, he did better because he was playing as a Lone Ranger. And against Sudan, that was the first time. I know the people at the stadium, I mean, the crowd alone might have taken a toll on him, so he may not have performed.
Intimidation.
Sort of. But against Brazil, we saw a different Jordan Ayew.
Who?
I will tell you something about this, the junior, the Jordan. You know, he was first used against Sudan also.
Yeah.
After the match, I asked the coach. You know, the coach was my captain in the Black Stars. He told me that father, they called me father, but you know, father, the boy was fantastic during training sessions. And as a coach, if you see somebody like this, you wouldn't like to drop him to bring somebody who is not doing well in the training listing. So he was surprised it didn't come up to that expectation. But sometimes when they come in first, you see such mistakes, but I feel this time
his confidence level is up a bit. We'll be going to the lines to speak to Mohamed Polo, former player of the Black Stars. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention for me, who are the players to watch in the Black Stars?
To watch?
Yeah, the outstanding players we have now that we can depend on. Who are the stars in the Black Stars?
In fact, to be frank with you,
there's none.
I would say almost everybody is okay.
A star.
Yeah, it's a star.
Even those are not playing actively.
But I'm telling you,
Tego is a star.
In fact, I'm telling you something. You listen.
Yes.
You know, when you go to competitions, some tactical guidelines. You see, before you go to a tournament, some tactical guidelines are there. You think about the system of play. And then you think about organization of the defense, organization of the attack, the midfield, outstanding players and their rules, and then standing situations, set pieces. Yeah. If you put all these things together, that will tell you. But if everybody is playing his role well, then during the game, people can say, oh, this was very outstanding. If they are not playing a game, it will be very difficult to come out to say this. You know, when they go in for this competition.
But in everything, you need an Abedi Pele to make a difference. In 92, his absence in the final, I'm sure you agree with me, affected us.
Mm-hmm.
In the semifinals, he did so well. He scored against Nigeria. Fantastic, you know, play and all that. Mm-hmm. Because of two yellow cards, he couldn't play the finals. And we lost it to Cote d'Ivoire.
Mm-hmm.
So you need an Abedi Pele. Or an outstanding player. Or, you know, Messi or something like that. In every team. So if you don't have such a playmaker in a team,
that could. But that doesn't mean without the one outstanding player, you cannot win them.
I actually believe that you may need a Mohamed Polo in the team. Mohamed Polo is on the line. Good evening to you. Polo, welcome to Behind the News tonight on Radio Ghana.
Thank you.
Does Ghana have a chance in the African Cup of Nations that starts tomorrow?
It looks like that.
It looks like that, or it is?
It cannot happen to that. It happens, you know? And that is the expectation of, for all Ghanaians.
Yes.
The situation that even, that is even gingering the Ghanaians that it is time for us to, you know, bring the cup was because of the last performance in Angola.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the performance, there was no expectation, you know, from them.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the players that went there, were virtually, you know, majority were under 20.
But they were World Cup winners. They were World Cup winners. They had won the World Cup at the youth level.
And if we talk about World Cup winners under 20, it's a different thing. If really we're taking that age group, it's quite a different thing. But these youngsters, without any exposure at that, you know, Nations Cup level, they were able to go there and did their best. And their best was, to come to the finals. Unfortunately, lack of exposure did elude them that they didn't take the cup. Otherwise, they would have got the cup for us, you know. But now that all these youngsters are still there, majority of them are there, and they are matured, you know, within this, few years, with the matured ones also ready, you know, to make history for themselves, it looks very clear, you know, something, you know, got to come out of it this time. And that is where the reason why, you know, Ghanaians are, you know, 100% sure. But it cannot happen without a fight. It has to, they have to, you know, work very, very hard from the word go up to the end. It's very, very important.
Okay, maybe my last question to you, but do you think our chances are bright or brighter than the previous one? Because Nigeria, Egypt, South Africa, you know, those countries, Cameroon, are not there?
Yeah, on the other side, that is how it looks like. But then you cannot take anything from those who have qualified. You know, there are a lot of favorites still there. Like Senegal that we were talking about, and then the Ivorians, who have all the stars but still don't glitter. But then Sudan, the Senegalese, you know, have just put their things right, and it looks they also possess that you know, quality of players. So it's likely that we're not going to get it easy, despite the fact that some of the, you know, big guns are not there. But then if you look at even Morocco, Tunisia, they are also contenders. So it looks that, you know, we have to, you know, get ourselves prepared. And the players have to lift up their game from the word go.
Thank you so much, Mohamed Polo. Thank you so much for tonight, and have a good night.
Thank you, too. You're welcome. And my greetings to my coach. I think it's... Coach Osam Dudu, eh?
Yes, that's right.
Why didn't you come? Well, normally I come here with you.
Oh, I know.
Next time.
I don't know that you are coming. I'm far away. I'm far away from your, that closer to that place. So.
Oh, I see.
All right, thank you so much.
Take care. I hope you're doing well. Take care of you.
Yes, thank you so much. The same question I want you to attempt to answer. You think that we have a better chance because of the absence of Egypt, Cameroon?
Ibrahim, I think that there's a fundamental mistake we are trying to make. Okay?
Yes.
We are looking at teams like Niger, Botswana, Sudan, who have perhaps been there and may not have the quality that everybody expects them to have. I have said this, that if you are looking at teams who are there now, and you're talking about Cameroon and Nigeria not being there, those teams, those smaller teams that you want to call minnows in African football, who managed to get themselves there at the expense of the big teams, you have to rate them equally as you want to rate Nigeria.
That's right.
Because they were able to take out the big ones out, which means that they have the quality that we are not trying to look at. So if Botswana could qualify ahead of Tunisia, that should tell you that the team Botswana, or the team that the people of Botswana have put together, are a better side. Because you may look at the team because they are not playing a sophisticated league, England, Spain, France, and all the rest. They are playing local league. But those teams are looking at something they want to call the telepathy or the cohesion. That cohesion is what? The togetherness that had been there for a long time. I mean, my father, Mr. Samdodo, will tell you that the team that he led to win the 1982 Nations Cup, they may not have been teams of big names, but they were there, or they were put together for a long time. He was telling you about the traveling to Brazil and back and all that. He was able to put the team together for a long, long time. That's how come they managed to beat all the teams that they met over there. So if we take Niger out, thinking that, oh, the Nigerians are not a better team, I mean, they just can't beat Ghana, we may be laughing at the wrong side of our mouth, because these are the teams that you may not know their style of play. Let me say something to you. Francois Zaoui, the head coach of Cote d'Ivoire, said that they have got a big problem. They have variance. Why? Because anytime they are going to a tournament, they are seen as the favorite. And for that matter, they do not respect opponents. But they always go home disappointed. So we may think that, oh, Botswana, yes, our first game, Botswana, but they qualified at the expense of one of the big nations in Africa, Tunisia. And today, they are there. And we are not looking at them as, you know, a potential threat to us. But we had mentioned Senegal may be even eliminated by some of the teams that we may not even expect them to eliminate them. And that's football for you. So you don't have to just take away a team because they don't have star-studded players. And you think you have. So I expect that whatever place we want to rate Nigeria, Guinea, we should put them there. Guinea beat Nigeria back-to-back to get there. I mean, if you look at the head-to-head, they played 2-2 in Nigeria, beat them 1-0 over there. If you took up Botswana beat Tunisia back-to-back. They are there. How come they managed to do this? If you look at Sudan, they may not even have started their teams. All the players are playing Al-Malek and Al-Hilal in Sudan. But when we met them in Kumasi, we saw the kind of opposition they gave us. And they are going to be there. And so we don't have to just, you know, take some teams out and think that because maybe Asamoah is fit again to the Black Stars is all good. Because we have John Mensah there to the Black Stars is all good. No. We have to be very careful the way we look at the opponents we are going to meet. We just have to make sure that we go in every game that we play, we take our chances. But if you want to eliminate them, as if they don't exist, Francois Zaoui will tell you that we will go home disappointed.
Coach, you have the same feeling? Well, Egypt were the stumbling block to our winning the Nations Cup in 2010. We would have won it.
But that doesn't mean that if you were there, they could do the same thing. Because for me, if I'm a coach, you beat me. You will never beat me twice. You understand?
Yes.
Because Brazilians cheated me at the finals of the World Cup under 20. When I got them and the 17, I gave them 3-1. So these are some of the things. But, you know, on paper, Ghana is number one. But me, I see on paper.
In terms of the names you're presenting.
In terms of quality, football and everything.
Okay.
Because of the impression, you know.
But they have created.
Yes. In our group, for me, I always say, when you go to tournament, treat every match as final match. If you do that, you go through. Because if you know that Botswana, for instance, this is the first time they have never been there before, but they beat Chad, Tunisia, and Malawi and Togo to qualify for the first time. In Mali, they were runners-up in 1972, 6 appearances. And then Guinea, 9 appearances. There had been quarterfinals 2004,
2006. And these are a group, the opponents
in this group. These are, in fact. But unfortunately, the Guinean coach said that for his team, they know, for the group, they know Ghana will be first. But they are going to fight for the second spot.
That's
so look at a coach saying
priority.
But now sometimes you say the
strategy.
So you approach him with complacency, and you'll be seeing where power lies. So that is the situation. Let's treat every match like a final match, and then when from quarterfinals to the finals, there should be some. Coaches, experienced people to spy for our team. This is very, very essential.
Spy even at the tournament.
Sp- qualifying should have started long time.
But haven't you done that?
I'm not part of the FA. So this is the situation. Spying is one of those things. Let me tell you something. In 82, you were to play Algeria in the quarterfinals, in the semifinals. They had qualified for the World Cup. You know, they were based in Benghazi. And I had to take plane to go to see them play Nigeria. And I discovered the captain was fantastic, but he hadn't got the heart. The least thing, he will knock you. But he was also always doing this at the blind side of the referee. And I reported to Major Lamte, late Major Lamte. He was a member of the referees committee. And so he alerted the referees, the officials. And then I worked it in my team too. I told Kofi Wedu, the midfielders, anybody this man touches you, you have to fall and shout. And Kofi Wedu did it for us. He hit him and he shouted and then rolled. And I shouted to him, "Daho, daho, daho," and he did it. So, the man consulted with this the linesman, and gave this man red card, and we qualified. So, spying is one of those things that. And then, if you go to competitions, when we were playing England, you know, Brazil and other, these are friendly matches.
Okay.
You could see some people sitting just at the top of the officials.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think they were there for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm telling you, they were technical men who were looking for this thing, who were looking for the technicalities in the... what was going wrong. And they were passing on information.
To the coach.
This is what.
Even if it was just a friendly match.
Friendly match. You see, even in 78, I had some people who were really doing something that for us. But you see, we have so. The confidence is such that. But even you can. I can ask this, my brother, who is very friendly, good in this thing.
Analyst.
Observation. See, sometimes 78, when we were playing and Kaide was not being well, it was. Somebody I put there, ordinary person, who sent a message, and I told my assistant, and he also said, yes, Kaide was not doing well. We removed him, put the creature there, and he scored.
Okay, so
this spying thing.
A closer look again at our group, Mali, Botswana, Guinea, Ghana, right?
Yeah.
Which of these four... you're Ghanaian, so, but technically speaking, which of these four teams have a chance of qualifying?
No, what is happening is, even the coaches, they have come out that they know Ghana will take the first position. They are going to fight for the...
But that is psychological.
Psychological. So, but that shouldn't go into our heads. But for me, I know Ghana will go through that side.
Will you? How are you? What do you think?
I have my
putting
my
sentimentalities in.
Yeah, but seriously, Ibrahim, I have my doubts. Specifically
that will qualify.
Not that Ghana will qualify or will not qualify. The team would qualify, but I don't see the reason we have to play so much emphasis on the Black Stars actually getting to the quarterfinal stage so easily, because every team that is coming to this competition has really worked very hard. Everybody, and I must say this, that the group and that we find ourselves, the teams are working very hard in the Black Stars. And we have to be very careful about that one, because if you think that you have the men or you have the players that they can go and bully their way through to the next stage, that will be very difficult, because Mali is working on Ghana, Botswana equally is working on Ghana, and then you have Guinea also, because we played Guinea in 2008, we beat them 2-1. And so
it wasn't even easy.
Yes, it wasn't easy. So that should tell you that if the coach is saying that the Black Stars, he expects the Ghanaian team to get to the quarterfinals, and we are saying that, yes, everybody's rating us high, we have to be extra, extra careful. Now, even look at the Black Stars and look at the players that we send there. How many attackers did we send there? So it means that some players in the midfield have to sometimes come in and play the attacking role. And that's a bit, dicey for a team. That is
going to... As a nation, you don't have attackers?
I mean, that's where you have to look at the kind of... the caliber.
Is there no better attacker than Prince Tego?
No. What I will tell you...
Because everybody's talking about Prince Tego.
Look, let him draw your attention to one thing. You know, we have a coach. And every coach has got his own way of selecting players, probably according to the system that he's playing. You see, me, for me, normally when you are a coach and you do this and that, I just look at you. Perhaps you come out with flying colors and I will learn from you.
Okay.
But if you don't do it, then we have this thing, the guts to criticize you that you should have done this and that.
But we are too hungry to experiment.
But me, I hope it will end up properly for us. Because especially for the first round, to qualify for the quarter, I know we are all there. Because the coach is determined to go farther. Okay. But from the quarterfinals, we must be very careful.
Yeah.
This is the situation.
All right. I'll come back to you in the studio. Sports journalist Ibrahim Awal has also joined us. Ibrahim, good evening.
Good evening, Ibrahim.
Good. So, tell us, what do you think our chances are? I mean, the Black Stars.
Ghana really have a very bad chance of winning the Africa Cup of Nations for the fifth time.
Why?
We are all hoping that Goran Stefanovic will be the first foreign coach to bring the trophy home.
Do you have your radio on? Ibrahim, is your radio on? If you could just... is your radio set on?
No, my radio set is off. I'm far away from radio.
Oh, I see. Okay. Why do you think that our chances are bright?
We have a very bright chance of winning the Nations Cup for the first time since 1982. But if we doesn't, I believe it will be a time for a sober reflection. If you take a trip down memory lane, since Osamu Dodu in 78-80, at every Nations Cup, the Black Stars turn up with a new coach. Then he had the two, CK and Q was there. Fine, he won the trophy. But if you look further back, CK had been there in 63 and 65. 84, just before the tournament, Osamu Dodu was given the sack. In came Coach Afrane, and we went to Boke, and it became known as the Boke debacle. The Black Stars drew a blank in the intervening three tournaments, 86, 88, 90. We bounced back just in time for Senegal in the two. We were able to qualify for Senegal in the two. And just as we were preparing for Senegal, the coach, the substantive coach, Bukaziz, was sacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then came with the Fista. Fista's team was able to reach the finals. So we all thought Fista would be allowed to continue his job. But then, Tunisia and the fourth came with a new coach in the shape of late Agrifin. Agrifin hesitated after Tunisia. Bukaziz took over, Ismail Kes took over in 96. 98, Reynolds Israel, and 2000 was the turn of Gusipo Dosina. Osamu Dodu was called again for 2002. Osamu gave his best. He was able to reach the quarterfinals, only to lose to Nigeria. 2004, we could not qualify. 2006, the Black Stars were there. Djokovic qualified us for the World Cup and the Nations Cup, so he had the chance to take us to Egypt 2006. Fine, Djokovic gave very little. He edited the scene, and in came Kuroi for 2008. Then Milovan Radjavac for 2010, and now it's the turn of Goran Stefanovic. So you could see, since Osamu Dodu in 78 and 1980, at every Nations Cup, the Black Stars turn out with a new coach. And that has not helped the cause of the Ghanaian game in terms of winning the ultimate. If you look at countries like Nigeria and Cameroon, they used it was Kuroi who was there in the 6. In the 6, Kuroi could not win. But Cameroon gave him the benefit of a doubt. He won the title in 88. Westhoff took over as Nigerian coach from Manfred Ona in 1988. Westhoff.
Okay, so Ibrahim, I think very good historical Abraham. Analysis. Yes.
Ibrahim, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. So we are talking of consistency in terms of coaches who have taken the blaster since 1982. With Ghana has been taking a new coach at every Africa Cup of Nations since.
And that is happening. Unfortunately, we've not had the same consistency that you wish we could have. Yet you say that we have a good chance.
Yeah, I mean we really have a good chance, but I'm looking at some factors that could go. Hello there. Hello, Ibrahim.
Yes, you're on air. Hello, Ibrahim. Oh, I'm afraid it's like listening to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Coach Osamu Dodu, I think you won the cup in 82, not 80?
No, not 80.
82. So
Ibrahim was the head coach.
Yes, in 82, not 82, 80.
Not 80.
All right.
I mean, if you listen to the analysis being made there by Ibrahim, he talks about the fact that you're looking at all the historical antecedents, but then the fact of the matter is the consistency is not there, and now you're going to the Nations Cup with Goran Stefanovic, and you're looking at factors that might go against the Black Stars. It appears that, yes, those same factors may be there in Gabon, Equatorial Guinea.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, basically. So
yes.
It means that how do we get a consistency? We don't have belief in our local coaches. Even Akwesi Appiah, who was even asked to handle the Black Stars against Sudan, Ghanaians didn't have faith in him that he could even beat Sudan.
Is that why we couldn't beat Sudan?
The fact of the matter is, if you're given a coach and you don't have faith in him, everything he does, you criticize.
Beyond our group, you say you are scared that after qualifying, we may not make it to the finals, coach.
Or we can get to the finals. What I'm saying is this. Now, we should take every match like a final match. That one, you can get there. Because right now, Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire, they are also determined.
What is it about this Senegal everybody talks about? I hear they are there with 6 strikers. Mm-hmm. Can you go to a tournament like this with 6 strikers and win? You are a coach.
In fact, that reminds me when 1984 you didn't do well. People were saying they were all lefties. You see, what is happening is, in fact, there was a time Kofi Abri was there, Kumi was there, but I was using them.
They were all lefties.
Yeah, lefties, but I used them.
On the right and left flank.
I discovered that even with Abedi Pele can play any position. Mm-hmm. So you put Abedi Pele on the right. He shoots better when he's facing the goal side, the left. He will score. So you have to use the person according to his tactical and technical ability.
So
the Senegalese, probably he knows that those attackers, they have probably midfield attackers who he has converted.
Is that a case? Is that a case with your team?
I don't know. Unless they play, then we can see.
Granted that they are all strikers. How can they perform?
I will never believe that all of them are strikers. For instance, 78, I have Razak. Razak was a midfielder,
golden boy.
But he was a striker. But he plays the middle and the second striker, too. Even there are other players. Who you can convert them to listen
to midfield
to the midfield and the rest, and so it depends upon the coach. The coach is doing his work and he knows what he is doing. Let's see them in the first match and see how he's going to use.
It's like he's more interested in scoring in attacking than defending. Mm-hmm. That is Senegalese coach.
Well, if you score 10 and they score you 12. That happens.
Okay, so I'll come back to you, Benji, on the Senegalese team, but Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports, Nino Tedua, is in the line. Ni, good evening. Welcome to Behind the News. So, from the perspective of the government and the ministry, can you tell us that the Black Stars are well motivated, to win the Cup?
Yeah, certainly the Black Stars are well motivated. Government has provided everything that they need for their preparations and for their training for this tournament before they left for South Africa. And their bonuses, their per diem and what appearance fees and everything has been worked upon. And these are the things that will motivate them. Now, to give them a hyper motivation, on Sunday, His Excellency the Vice President is visiting them. He will go to Gabon and visit them, talk to them, raise their morale, and ensure that they win their matches and qualify to the next stage of the competition.
What kind of promises have you given them? Or is the Vice President going to promise them anything on Sunday, that if you win the Cup, you're going to get a house each? What promises do you have for them?
There are no promises normally. When the under 20 won the competition in Egypt, for example, they were not giving any promise. But when they won, they were giving money. They were compensated, etc. The Black Stars, when they played the Africa Cup of Nations in Angola and go to the final, they were not promised. But normally the government, and for that matter, either His Excellency the President or the Vice President, will talk to them and assure them that look, when you bring
the trophy,
not the trophy per se, but when you bring hope and
honor,
glory, and you bring glory to the country, certainly the country will reward you accordingly. So that is the thing.
Okay.
And so therefore, I believe that if they are able to win the trophy, would all appreciate whatever the government will do for them.
You have followed sports the whole of your life until you became a politician. What is your candid assessment of the team we have?
Oh, yes. You see, the point is that the team depends upon their tactics and a whole lot of things, and the opponents. You see, some people will talk of role-playing, others will talk of systems. But the experts will tell you that it is not systems which plays football. It is your opponents. Studying your opponents and knowing how to play and how to outwit them and how to score. That is the most important thing. I believe that the team, we have an all-round team which should be able to carry the days for us and to win the and to reach the better zone and finally to win.
Hello, Ni. I'm afraid we've lost the Deputy Minister of Fitness and Sports, Ni Notidua. Briefly, you want to react?
Yeah, I want to react.
Okay.
He said, Honorable Minister said about motivation. In fact, motivation is one of those things where you have the coach doing his own work and then
the administration, okay.
The administration also doing this thing. But normally, you don't promise before. You understand, before the competition. Probably the promise may even come when the final day, when you are playing finals. If you win, your bonus is there. But the government will do something extra. For you.
Okay, so
this is what happens.
Benjamin, why are you laughing?
No, that reminds me of a story a story that Mike Ahe told me when he was a strong athlete for Ghana. He said that he was in a competition, a Commonwealth competition, and he was really injured. He was going for a long jump, and then the former, the director of sports, then told him that, Mike, Osajifu is watching. If you don't win this medal, we are all not going back to Ghana. That was the promise they gave.
And he won.
In fact, he got the medal.
And he promised us to come back to Ghana.
Yes.
So he came back to Ghana. All right, we've been rejoined by the Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. I'm sorry we lost you, Nino Tidwa. Can you just wrap up your contribution?
Yeah, thank you very much. But I didn't know my line is gone off.
The line went off.
And so I didn't know where I got to before the line went off.
I see. I think you're talking about what the team should do, depending on their being able to assess their opponents, to inform their tactics.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So I was saying, I don't know whether that's what I was saying. When we played in the Angolan, competition.
Yes.
Before the competition, many people complained of our players that Essien was sick, Domensa was sick, this other person was sick, etc., etc. So there were people who were of the opinion that we shouldn't even have gone into the competition at all. But what happened? We go to the finals. So, football match depends on so many things. It depends on so many things. When we were playing, I want to start an example. When we played in Angola, for example, I was in Accra and I saw the field on which they were playing. That whenever there was a hard tackle, a portion of the field or the grass gave way.
Yeah.
So I called our grass technologist that is he seeing what is happening? Yes. Then he said yes. It was because of the nature of the field or the pitch. So quickly I called my minister. Then my minister was in Angola and told him that because of the nature of the field, there was a need for us to fly our grass technologies over to Angola to assess the pitch. And he agreed. So I went to a castle, I met the chief of staff, and sought permission from him. Luckily, he's also, a sportsman, so he understands grasses and the role grasses could play in any tournament. And he agreed. And we put our grass technologies, Mr. Fanguahin, to Angola for him to go and study and then assign the players and the coach accordingly. And that was how we went through the group stages. In that group stage, Togo didn't play. So we already had to play two matches. We lost the first match. And we lost the second match. That would have been our end in the competition. So we won the second match. And then we went on winning and winning and winning till we got
the one good project it was.
You understand? So you could have the best players. But if the pitch is so good, the players will perform abysmally.
All right.
And they could not win matches.
We play that in this tournament.
So many things.
We play that in this tournament. The pitch will not be a challenge. Thank you so much, Deputy Minister of Media and Sports, Nyota Edua, for talking to us tonight. Thank you so much, and have a good night. I believe we'll be talking to you subsequently, you know, as
thank
the
you.
Tournament
thank you very much for
goes on. Have a good night. Briefly, time is beating us, but the teams that, from where I sit, I am scared of are Cote d'Ivoire and Senegal. Am I right?
Yeah, you should, because they have improved tremendously over the past years. Remember Senegal in 2002, what they did at the World Cup. After that, Senegal really hasn't been a team or a threat to African football. But I think that they have improved tremendously with the different players. Demba Ba, Moussa Sow, all of them coming in. Mamadou Niang, these are great
players. This Demba Ba guy.
These are great players you have to be scared of. But I think that at the end of the day, we are going to see a pretty tough competition. But
you think Cote d'Ivoire will still be an underperforming team?
No, but the coach has said it. I mean, they are rated as favorites, but most of the times when it happens, that
so that's the weakness he's working on.
Yeah, he's going to work on that. So when he's able to achieve that, I mean, Abraham expects a very interesting list.
So, coach, for all the groups, can you briefly tell us which teams you expect to qualify from the group stages?
The group stages. Group A. I chose Senegal, the rest will fight for the second place. And then Group B, Cote d'Ivoire. You see, I'm saying this because it's a strong team, but they have not been doing well. So they are doing their homework, and I know they will do it. Cote d'Ivoire is even number one in Africa on FIFA ranking.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I know it will be okay for us. Then Group D is Ghana. But let me draw your attention to one thing. In FIFA, you have something called fine line. The fine line at the top level of football in an era when teams are often evenly matched. The fine line between winning and losing can be the result of the following,
mm-hmm.
which we have to watch it. The decision by the coach. If I say decision by the coach, the coach can take a decision, probably make a change and then we win.
That's right.
Or make a change and we lose.
So it depends on luck sometimes.
And then there is another one, individual action. You look at Messi, look at Ronaldo.
Yes, the stars I'm talking about.
They can also make you win.
Which you don't seem to be having.
And then set pieces. Set pieces. Mm-hmm. If you think about set pieces, very, very important. You are level. So there is a corner kick. And then you see you lose. Or the penalty.
Do you
kick.
Think somebody like the day are you can play the role of a Messi or a Ronaldo or on a Belipili?
No, what is happening is everybody and his a level. He hasn't come to the level of the father yet, but he is doing very well. And then you have tactical flexibility, and this is where the coach knows that because our professionals, they have tactical awareness. That's why he's using them, because they can even change the formation on the field. So, and then technical quality, when you think about you and the rest. So these are some of the things in the fine line where we can either lose or. So if you study the group that you're going to meet, Cote d'Ivoire, you're going to meet Cote d'Ivoire, you're going to meet Senegal.
At which stage are we likely to meet Cote d'Ivoire? Final?
It can come at a semi-finals.
Semi-finals. How about Senegal?
Senegal, but both of them can come during that, depending on how they...
So if we meet Cote d'Ivoire at the semi-final or quarter and we beat them, we are winning the cup.
Now, quarterfinals, it will not...
If we are able to beat them before the finals, then we can take it at the finals, we have already won it.
But if your finals, you're going to meet Botswana.
Yes.
Then you can...
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it's too early to predict, but who is going to win the cup?
Ghana.
Who is going to win the cup?
I hold it to my chest.
You're not confident.
I'm a Ghanaian, so I wish Ghana will win.
And I wish.
I'm tired, 82.
It's a long
the
time.
Pad on my neck.
You want
somebody
to
come in.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for talking to us tonight. Coach Osam Dodu and Benjamin Willie Graham. And that's where we bring the curtains down, tonight's edition of Behind the News. I'll just read one text to you. This one came from Yenu Kensley in Gore. So he says, our gallant stars
will win the cup for Ghana. The program is produced by Bright Agama, Edmond Tete, Kingsley Obinchwe, and Christopher Siedu. Our technical producer tonight, Samuel Ajay. My name is Abraham Asari. Have a good night and a good weekend.